about. You gotta put it in perspective.
All right. Well, sober up and try to listen to this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Dave, we're going to give you the last word with Kristen Bell.
Okay. Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Kristen, for coming on the show with us.
Thank you, Dave.
I love you. I'm in love with Kristen Bell. Thank you, Kristen.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye now.
Palm Springs, California. Hello.
Have you been introduced to Kevin?
No. Which one's Kevin?
He's here on a special work program. He's slow, you know, in his brain.
Oh, good for you guys.
Yeah. 8 maids are milking, 7 swans are swimming, 6 geese are laying, 5 golden.
Kevin, God damn it.
And now.
That's not responsible broadcasting.
Our feature presentation.
Wow.
Oh, tell me you saw his face, Bean.
Wow.
I'm sorry, I missed it.
Oh.
Wow.
Have you not heard you singing the 12 Days of Christmas
I have not.
25 years?
No, of course not.
I had forgotten about that incident, but the BT
was
podcast.
Did I sing it by myself?
I think you were leading the crowd, perhaps. I'm sure we can ask Omar. Let's bring Omar in. Right. Here he is, because they did this on the B-Team podcast, which, by the way, I apologize, Omar. We don't give your podcast enough love that you and Dave and former producer Lightning do all about the Kevin Bean Show, because it's great.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Except for that part.
And you recently spotlighted the 12 Days of Christmas, which was a live event that we did in Burbank. Tell us about it.
So Lightning brings in a bunch of audio that Dave and I haven't heard, because this was in the early 90s, and this particular tape was from 1992. Oh.
So this was pre-you guys working here.
Right. So Lightning was super excited to bring this to us because he thought Dave and I were going to be over the moon. Like, you guys aren't going to believe what Kevin and Bean did. This is so great. Okay? So what Kevin Bean do in 92...
Why would he sell it that way?
I have no idea.
Had he not heard it?
They're at an equestrian center, and they do a live 12 Days of Christmas. And they have, like a fake horn section. They have, like, blow-up swans and other, like, hijinks. And the whole break is 10...
Danny Partridge?
Right. Yeah. Was that...
And Tracy Lord?
They had Tracy Lord down there.
What?
She's one of our Lords Leaping.
Yeah. And they do the entire
song. They don't do the entire
song. They do the entire song.
No, Omar.
And what I heard was about 30 seconds, and I was already out. Okay? And Lightning said the entire break was about 12 minutes long. I only heard 30 seconds. I was like, wow! Like, are you kidding me? What you heard was over and over and over again. It was crazy.
All right, slow down.
It was really, really bad.
Let someone else talk.
Yeah. Back up. All right. First of all, we could all agree the 12 Days of Christmas is the worst Christmas song of all time.
It's
terrible. It's boring. It's repetitive. It couldn't be any worse. But in our defense, and I'm not saying it was good, but in our defense, we built up by gathering all of those people, 100 people or whatever that it took to put on that pageant. We built that up on the air, and this was the payoff. This was the big finale of the live broadcast from the Equestrian Center that night. That's why I think we probably spent a lot of time on it.
Yeah, but you know what? It was still bad.
Yeah, it doesn't make it good.
It doesn't make it good.
I mean, that doesn't
you
help.
You know what I mean?
But I'm saying that's why we did it anyway.
No, but it's and I say on the podcast, too, is like, now you're a different show. You're a better show, but because you're considerate of your audience.
Define better.
Okay, yeah.
You care about their ears.
Yeah,
more.
Exactly. Like I couldn't believe it because it was so repetitive and so long. And then you guys, in between the little song parts, you guys would like describe what was happening. And it was really poorly done.
All right.
if you get a chance, we cover it more in more detail on the B-Team podcast.
Can we just hear Kevin singing that part again?
Yes, please.
Could we?
Yeah, give me a second.
In our defense, we were bad.
Yeah.
In our defense, just looking at Kevin's face when that first started playing.
That was shocking, right?
It was shock and then fear and then oh, God, and then laughter, all
and
within
then why
2 seconds.
It was
awesome.
8 maids are milking, 7 swans are swimming, 6 geese are laying, 5 golden.
You guys had like 1,000 people down there.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
Wow. Yeah.
It was a big deal.
It was a big live broadcast that a lot of people came to. And I'll tell you something else, and I don't know if Lightning mentioned this to you or not, Omar. If I remember correctly, Kevin, tell me if I'm wrong, that's where we handed out the vinyl copies of the first ever Kevin and Bean Christmas album.
Oh, yeah. You told me that you guys put that on that record, but I don't know. He didn't tell me.
We put out a vinyl record of the Christmas
500 copies is all we made, and we handed almost all of them out to the, you know, first come, first served to the crowd that showed up.
I mean, it was like 10 to 12 each person, but
you guys are terrible.
We are terrible. And the truth is, you can take a half a dozen things from this week's show and in 10 years put it on the B-Team podcast and make fun of how bad
it
was. It's not like we're getting better, Omar. All right. Well, thanks for jumping in on
that. Okay, cool.
How come the clip is just of me singing?
Singing?
I found that so funny. That's why. I literally, on the podcast, stopped down. And because when I hear that and how you were, like, you know, all janky on it, I stopped down and I emailed Bean, like, in the middle of the podcast.
That's funny.
I was so excited.
You need this.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, stop down. I got to email this to Bean right now.
Oh,
but I sing even worse, though, I'm sure, on the tape, right?
I don't know, man. Katrin shines. He shines on it.
Look,
yeah.
Here's the thing. When we started here, we were learning from scratch and we knew nothing. And it really was bad. There was some bad stuff.
Yeah, and you know
it
what?
It wasn't for lack of trying,
but
it was a swing and a miss.
You were swinging for the fences. Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Look, you either get a home run or you strike out.
Totally.
Sometimes you strike out.
Totally.
A lot of times you strike out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good times.
Good times.
All right. Thanks, Omar.
Yep.
Appreciate a lot.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
Get out. All right. You still have a thing to do? Or
I could. Do we have time to do a thing, or is that enough? Are we exhausted now?
I mean, I'd rather wash the taste of that out of my mouth.
All right. Oh. I'll do a thing then. This might be a good phone topic at some point down the road as well. Did you ever, as a kid, swallow anything that wasn't food?
Yes.
Ever have to go to the emergency room because you swallowed a toy car or a thimble or whatever it was? Mm-hmm. Do you remember? Anyone?
Yeah.
Sure.
Magnets.
You swallowed magnets?
Yeah.
How did they get them out?
They didn't get them out. They said, they'll come out.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and then they had to have my parents monitor to make sure they came out.
Well, here's that must have been a fun weekend.
I mean, I was 17, which is embarrassing.
Here's a man that went to the hospital in India complaining of abdominal pain, and he was found to have nearly 12 pounds of metal objects in his stomach.
12 pounds?
Oh.
12 pounds. His name is Maksud Khan, 28, a rickshaw driver from the Satna district in central India. He was admitted to the hospital on November the 19th. Originally, he showed up, and he had been complaining of pain in his stomach, he said, for about a month, and he finally decided to go to the doctor. They thought maybe he had been had food poisoning, and then they did some tests on him, including an X-ray. By the way, he had an infection in his abdomen. He had low blood pressure. They did an X-ray, and they found 12 pounds of metal objects in his stomach. Here's what was in there. Coins, 263 of them, by the way. 263 coins.
Is that a condition?
Isn't that pica or something?
I'll get to that.
Zika. Okay. That's what
around 100 nails in his stomach.
100 nails?
100 nails, 263 coins.
How do you even swallow those?
No.
Chains and bolts.
Wow.
Post-operatively, they did an operation on him, a three-hour operation. They used a laparoscope. Is that it? A laparoscope?
Yeah, laparoscopy.
To find them all and removed everything from his stomach. Post-operatively, he was in critical condition for about 24 hours, was on ventilator support. Now he's out of danger. He just needs some time for his stomach to recover. Now, the pica that you're talking about is so interesting, Allie, because last year there was another man in India, and we talked about him on this show, a 42-year-old who swallowed over 40 knives. And they believe that he had that disorder where you develop a taste for metal and you just have to eat metal.
Yeah.
They don't think that's what's going on with Mr. Khan here, though. They think his unusual behavior might be caused by depression. That's what the psychiatry department there is saying, is that he is depressed, he is sad,
but
eating metal.
A lot of people have problems with depression. I've never heard of them eating metal. Mm-mm.
I haven't either. I don't know how they're able to get inside his brain and understand that it's this thing versus the other thing, and maybe they're wrong. But, man, you should just see this picture of all the stuff that came out of the dude's stomach. No wonder he'd been complaining about stomach pain, right?
Oh, man.
What's worse, 12 pounds of metal objects in your stomach or Kevin singing the 12 Days of Christmas?
Toss up.
I need to hear it again.
Do we? Just for reference.
How
good point.
Eight maids are milking, seven swans are swimming, six geese are laying, five golden.
I will tell you this. I hate that song. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to rush through it because of that. It doesn't make me on key at all, but
it makes me want to eat bolts. I don't know about you.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bicho, shall we?
Bad job. Bad job.
Right. Bo Bachman will join us in studio talking about the LA Auto Show. He always knows everything there is to know about cars that are coming in the future, so we'll take your phone calls as well.
He sure brags a lot about being America's number one Mazda dealer, doesn't he? Look at that guy. Let's stop talking about it.
Dr. Drew's on the show today. He's going to explain to us why Dave, the King of Mexico, is going to die, so that's going to be fun.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. B-Mix's guess. I don't know if you saw Vice News last night on HBO, but Will Ferrell did something called Vicepedia. And he went through some of the internet rumors about him and confirmed or denied them. And it was rather funny. So we've got some highlights of that. And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Night 2 plus that JBL boombox coming up in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. We'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
8 maids a-milking, 7 swans a-swimming, 6 geese a-laying, 5 gold.
Oh, he's the guy at the end of the bar that you have to throw out.
I am. I wish someone would have thrown me out before that was recorded.
I have to hear more of that.
You
now.
Don't.
I do.
I don't think
to hear
you
some
do.
More of that song.
I need an album.
I feel like
that's what
you
we're
don't.
Saying, I think, is we need an album.
Omar said it went on for like 20 minutes.
I mean,
going through that whole
very
song.
Kevin Christmas.
A very Kevin Christmas.
I mean, it's not ideal, if that's what you're
I'm
saying.
I'm telling you. It would be a chart topper, as they say in the business.
5:52 Thursday morning here on the Kevin Beach Show. Time for a first look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Ah, Father Figures is a movie.
Yes.
That you want to see. Looks very funny. Owen Wilson and Ed Helms play twins, and you got, look at them. How could they not?
Right.
Right? I believe they're fraternal twins, not identical twins. Who are born to a mother, Glenn Close, who, has always told them that their father had passed away. And when they came to a certain age, he said, nah, truth is, I don't know who it is. I was banging a lot of dudes back in the day. So they go about their business trying to find out who their real father is. Seems like a very, very funny film. It's in theaters everywhere on December 22nd. But, it's in a big but, by the way, this is the premiere at Father Figures at the TCL Chinese Theater on the 13th. They're having the big premiere there. If you'd like to attend the premiere, you always wanted to go a big-time Hollywood premiere, here's your chance. Give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five people through will get passes to the premiere of Father Figures at the TCL Chinese Theater. Well, this Matt Lauer, he seems like a good dude, right?
Wow.
Oh, wait a minute. A lot of news outlets, including Variety Magazine and the New York Post, have released their investigations on Matt Lauer's sexual predatory nature. And this is why NBC stepped in and fired Matt Lauer, because they knew that several news outlets had had these investigations going on and they were about to break the news. So as I thought yesterday, I said, there must be something in the wind for them to take a preemptive strike like this. And indeed it was. They knew several outlets were going to release these stories. When you read them, it's like a horror movie.
Oh, no.
He had a button installed in his under his desk. So when a woman came into his office, he could touch the button and automatically lock the door to his office. This is some
what?
Saw BS right here. It allowed him. Now, apparently some of these sexual relationships were consensual, but in many cases, he would lock the door and then he could initiate inappropriate sexual contact, knowing no one could walk in on him, according to this Variety story, including two women who were sexually harassed and have filed complaints. So at least two more complaints were filed yesterday, and This is a bad dude.
Wow.
If they ever get that Trump News Network going that we've heard about, you can have Matt Lauer on it. You can put Bill O'Reilly on it. Charlie Rose. I mean, we're staffing the network here.
I will not hire anyone from NBC. Loser Network.
Oh, right. I forgot. Yeah.
And then no one is apparently immune to this virulent sickness that men have, apparently, of attacking women. Garrison Keillor, the old dude from public radio. The host of A Prairie Home Companion. Allegations of sexually inappropriate behavior from him. He's 75 years old. And he barely has enough energy to talk.
That just did seem unlikely. Let
alone molest anyone.
So dull.
Oh, he should be arrested, not for this, but for that program.
Well, maybe both.
Maybe both. If you're not familiar, there's a guy who talks like this.
We were down by the general store, and I was sitting on the porch. And then I said, Are we out of pickles?
I mean, that, it's like that for 2 hours. He did the show for like 40 years, right?
It's, and it was awful. Still.
Yeah, it was always awful. I loved it.
So, of course you did.
I loved it. I've been to see it live. On
oh,
my Lord.
Lord.
Wow.
Live. Can you imagine that show live? What possible difference could it make?
All right. You needed to rest.
Yes.
That's what it was. You needed to sleep.
Sleep
we got a
life.
Great mandolin player coming up next, Billy Joe Simpson. He plays a mandolin and also the Jew's harp. That's not a religious thing. It's an actual instrument. We'll be back right after this message from Biscuits.
Biscuits was the sponsor.
That was! The sponsor was Biscuits.
Is that true?
Some biscuit mix.
Powder milk
biscuits.
Which is a fake product.
You go right to hell.
Fake product? Oh, then he would do a fake, like, funny commercial,
yeah,
supposedly?
Exactly, yes.
I mean,
oh,
it was hilarious.
Hilarious.
Wow. Oh, these biscuits are the best biscuits. Why don't you get some today and put some jam on them? All right, now back to mandolin music.
It was god-awful.
So they're
and then on top of it, he's grabbing people backstage.
They're going to stop airing all the reruns.
Good.
That he had.
Good.
And the show that continues to this day, you know, was taken over by another host after he retired. They're going to change the name of that show. That's how
they
much
should.
They're trying to distance
they
themselves.
Blow
from
it
Jason
up.
Keeler.
A pervy home companion.
Right?
Who's with me.
Yeah,
all
everyone.
Right?
Before I get run out of time here, I want to take a couple minutes really quickly just to announce some news that may come as good news to some of you, but I hope for most of you it'll be a little disappointing to hear. Today is my last Kevin and Bean show. I'm going to be leaving the show, and the only reason I really bring it up is because I wanted to talk to you folks, the listeners, who for the past almost 20 years have been there for me professionally and personally, and I wanted to say goodbye to you and thank you for everything. I don't know what's going to happen down the road, but I hope I will get a chance to make you smile and laugh again someday. And so thanks for everything, and I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Morrissey and Muse, 30 Seconds to Mars and The Killers, Weezer, Queens of the Stone Age, Rise Against, The Lumineers, Phoenix, so many more, all going to be playing in a couple of weeks at the Forum. Sold out shows for the K-Rock Almost Christmas 2017. We got tickets you can win coming up on this morning's show. We haven't run out of time yet. You still can get your tickets. You know, there are people, year after year, they tell us they can never get tickets. They try everything and they can't get them. But we are still giving them away, so keep trying and good luck.
For the first time since 2004, somebody not named Eli Manning will be starting at quarterback for the Giants, who are 2-9. So that's not good for him.
This was a I don't follow the Giants closely.
I don't either.
But my overall impression from what little I do know is that the team is a mess this year because they have everybody's playing hurt at this point, but they have more players out than any other team, and that Eli is having a pretty good season. So it seems like he's not the problem, right?
Right.
I would think so. I don't follow him as closely either, but I haven't heard that he's been doing so poorly that he needs to be replaced.
I mean, he has a lot of guys who can't catch passes. I know that.
Is that?
But it just seems like you replace Eli Manning and you still have all the same problems that you have on the team just with a quarterback who's not as good. So I didn't really follow it. And if you saw that that video that went viral a couple of days ago of Eli giving a very gracious interview in the locker room, he was close to tears.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a bad surprise for him that day that he was going to be benched, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of our listeners reached out and they said, you guys got to talk to Eli. And we're lucky enough to have Eli Manning back on the phone here on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock from the New York Giants for how long? We don't know. Hey, Eli, how are you?
Hi.
Oh, sad Eli.
Hi. That was a short season.
It was.
I mean, it's not over yet.
What?
Well done.
Well done.
So, Eli, they come to you and they say that they're starting Geno Smith, who's a terrible quarterback.
But he makes great pizza rolls.
I think that's Tostino's.
Oh.
Oh, sweetie.
Yeah.
What's happening?
What are you doing?
What are you doing, Eli?
Killing time playing Pac-Man.
Oh.
I have to find things to fill up my day now.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, no. Blinky!
You, Eli, you have played, you have started. Oh, hold on.
I'm learning to play the xylophone.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's not everyone's move, but okay.
I'm going to be a big xylophone star.
Okay. Oh, all right. The world's ready for that.
Yeah.
You, you're about to end your 210-game streak of starting NFL games. That's a remarkable career right there, Eli.
Yes, and I would say to everyone in New York, no! I'm sorry. I wanted to play more, but they won't let me.
Yeah, it's not your fault, Eli.
Oh, I'm learning new things. Boomerang!
Oh. Oh. It's got an arm.
It's mic'd well. That's pretty impressive.
Still going.
Ow!
Oh, Eli, you have to catch it.
Yeah, those come back.
And hit me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't they tell you things about Boomerang? I just threw it and it came back and hit me in the head.
You're having a bad day.
That's something they should tell you about a Boomerang.
Sure, sure, I can see that.
Right back at you.
Right.
Well, there's a warning label that should be put on it.
I think there is.
No.
Yeah.
Hold on. You think there's a warning label in Boomerang?
Yeah, Kevin, there's not. It's just kind of
understood. That wasn't possible, Eli.
Oh, God.
You thought that on a Boomerang they put a warning label saying it comes back and hits you?
I wasn't positive. Who's the W on this call?
Oh, my God.
Eli is mortified for you.
You need to play with a helmet. You have brain damage.
That's not the first time that's been suggested.
Oh, I feel so much better now.
Why was Will Ferrell on your TV last night debunking internet rumors? Are there a lot of internet rumors about Will Ferrell that I am just unaware of?
I think there are a lot of internet rumors about everybody that are false. Yeah.
So if you're famous, people have bad information about you. So the point was he was going to go on TV and dispel all those myths.
Yes, on Vice News, which is on HBO, which is great. He goes on a thing called Vicepedia, and basically he takes rumors from Wikipedia and debunks them or says that they're correct, one or the other.
Uh-huh.
All right. Here's the first one.
Books are full of facts. The internet, not so much. I'm here to set the record straight on Vicepedia.
It was reported that I died in a freak paragliding accident in Torrey Pines.
Have you ever been paragliding?
Torrey Pines, sure. I take a trip twice a year to go down to Torrey Pines, and I make fun of the paragliders. I didn't go to Turtle Rock Elementary. Okay, yeah. I went to Culverdale Elementary. Way to go, Wikipedia.
I don't know how they get something like that wrong or how, I mean, honestly, how people care where you went.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense, but that was that one. And then he starts, he's looking at a picture of him next to Ron Perlman.
Okay.
And Will Ferrell's on the left, and Ron Perlman's on the right.
Ron Perlman, yes. You want to know the truth? The guy on the right is actually me. And the guy on the left is Ron Perlman. So they've got it switched. Mm.
So now he's making it worse.
Yeah.
Because he's telling everybody that he is Ron Perlman, and Ron Perlman is Will Ferrell. So then he talks about his time on Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you remember Thick-ass pitch. Thick spelled T-H-I-C-C.
No.
It's from Saturday Night Live. I'm sorry. I set up the wrong one. Is he in Hunger Games? Is Will Ferrell in Hunger Games?
I don't think so.
And he's watching a video on YouTube with his voice in a clip of Hunger Games.
Okay.
So it makes it look like he's in it, which is really weird.
I volunteer as tribute.
That is my voice.
I volunteer.
You're a news organization. So here's a headline for you. I will be suing the Hunger Games franchise.
I volunteer. I volunteer as tribute.
Okay, so he was not in Hunger Games. Now the Saturday Night Live clip.
When I first started Saturday Night Live, here's a great little antidote that you probably want to... You're probably going to edit out. Thick spelled T-H-I-C-C. Thick ass bitch. I will take it. I will take it and run with it. Oh, let me see that Pharisee. Feral. And it sounds dirty. Right?
Feist. I can say it.
This is a weird show.
It's a weird show.
I'm not sure I'm following this at all.
It's basically just him taking rumor after rumor and then either making fun of it or confirming it. But for the most part, he's obfuscating the whole thing. Like, he's giving the opposite answer.
I'm sorry, what? What? He's wedding?
He's giving... obfuscating? Is that not the right word?
I bet it is the right word.
And you're still Kevin, though, right?
Yeah, what's going on?
I mean, yeah.
Who's feeding you that word? You have a headset on that we can't see?
I
don't. An earpiece to the other room?
I don't. And then they ask him about his time in a Woody Allen movie. Has he ever been in a Woody Allen movie?
He was in Melinda? Is that the title? Does that sound right to you guys?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But is the comedian's name Mitch Hedberg?
Oh, sure.
He was doing a bit about Will Ferrell and talking about different people in Woody Allen movies.
Will Ferrell! You did a very good job in that Woody Allen movie. Sometimes when people are in Woody Allen movies, they just try to act like Woody Allen and it doesn't come out so great.
But that's funny that he said that, because there were moments, though, where I did think I was acting just like Woody Allen, and it took me out of the movie. But then there are moments where, quite frankly, I went against his direction, and I was really good in the movie.
And then for some reason, he needs to go back to elementary and smack talk the other elementary school.
And I know those kids. I went to school later with a bunch of Turtle Rock kids. Thick-ass bitch came raining down on them day after day after day. Those old Pharisees. Vicepedia.
So that's him setting the record straight?
And so now we know.
And that's the news that I watch. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
If you want to see Morrissey and the Killers and Weezer and the Lumineers and Foster the People and Phoenix and Walk the Moon and Franz Ferdinand, ex-ambassadors and Vance Joy, you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. That's the lineup for night number two of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. You're going to be asked to hold on for a couple of minutes, and then we'll play a game. Right after the top of the hour, give you a chance to win those tickets on K-Rock. First, Ralph Garman's here with another look at the showbiz beat and more. What's going on, Ralph?
Yeah, I think we need to address the elephant in the room. I tried to just talk to people the best I could. I wanted to use today to try to get the word out and also to talk to the listeners. And things are blowing up on Twitter and stuff and everything, so I do want to just address what's happening. Today is my last Kevin and Bean show. And I wanted to just take the opportunity to talk to the listeners, because for almost two decades, you guys have been there for me professionally and personally, and I really appreciate it.
You can see how much they love you, too,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks so much. I don't know what I'll be doing next, but it has been an honor to make you laugh and smile in the morning on occasion. And I hope I will have an opportunity to do that again somehow, some way down the line, and that you will still be kind enough to support me and to pay attention to when I say something or do something. And you guys have been great. You really have. So thanks again for everything. It's been a great run. And I never thought I had to say this this morning until I did. But I am not getting fired because of sexually inappropriate behavior.
But he tried.
Yeah, right. It just wouldn't take. I mean, I saw people speculating online that that was the reason, and it never dawned on me in a million years to have to diffuse that potential rumor.
Oh, no.
But in a world of Matt Lauer and Garrison Keillor and Kevin Spacey, I guess you do every time now someone leaves a job, they're going to have to address whether it's because of sexually inappropriate behavior or not. But no, that had nothing to do with why I'm going. So
it's the wheel of bad animal voices, really. That was the final nail in the coffin. Right?
I told you guys it was going to be the death of me.
Here's what I will tell you about Ralph is that he really was out on the wheel of bad animal voices like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He kept doing it, and although he hated it, he made it so funny every time. That's Ralph. And we're so going to miss that.
Was it me, Ralph?
You know I love you, Allie.
I love you.
Ah.
I don't like today.
Me neither.
I don't either, but I didn't want to just disappear and not say thanks to everybody for everything.
And it's very rare in broadcasting to even have the opportunity to say goodbye to your audience.
I know you never get that
really
chance,
important.
And
really
I appreciate
important
it.
You to do that.
It was, absolutely. So thanks so much. Let's get to the important stuff, right?
What's important now, Ralph?
Showbiz Pete.
Yeah. That the ABBA musical Chess is coming back.
What?
That's what really matters.
What?
Oh, ABBA.
Been saved.
The ABBA musical Chess is getting another reboot. They're going to put it on stage in Washington, D.C. That's all I care about. No, because we get to hear One Night in Bangkok again. Right?
I didn't know that was ABBA.
Yeah, what's the connection with ABBA there?
What?
What?
Chess, the musical, was written by Bjorn and Benny.
Oh,
was
I didn't
really
know that.
Yes.
Oh.
The guys from ABBA wrote the Broadway musical Chess.
I was just keeping my mouth shut. I was like, I don't know that they have a song called Chess.
Yeah. No, okay. They wrote all the music and book for that entire musical.
Did not know that.
Which was a colossal failure.
Okay.
But it had one hit song that came out of it. A guy named Murray Head recorded a song called One Night in Bangkok.
One night in Bangkok.
Right?
So is the whole reason they're putting this show back on is just so they can watch people sing that song again?
Bangkok, Oriental City. I get my kicks above the waistline, sunshine.
That's what I'll be doing next, probably. I'll be starring in Chess in D.C. Yeah, they are for some reason.
What?
I saw that show.
No one saw that show.
I saw that show because I, as a little kid, I loved the song I Know Him So Well. And my parents were like, do we have to take her to Chess?
Never heard of that.
That's another hit that came out of that soundtrack.
I had no idea ABBA was even
Benny and Bjorn.
Wow.
Yeah, they wrote that. That was their big deal. They were going to be the next big thing in Broadway. That was their plan. They were going to leave. They were going to leave pop music and become Broadway.
Oh, so this was, what, 20 years ago?
Oh, yeah. This is a long time ago. 80s.
80s. Yeah. Okay, wow.
30 years ago. This is post-ABBA. This was going to be their next move.
How am I still not tired of One Night in Bangkok, though?
Because it's awesome.
One night in Bangkok, in the world's top star. The balls are temples, but the balls ain't free.
Bangkok, Oriental City.
You want more next time?
I'm going to play the whole goddamn thing.
Okay.
What the hell are they going to do, fire me? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Mandy Patinkin is 65 years old today. Billy Idol turns 62. Ben Stiller's 52. DJ Steve Aoki is 40 years old. Alicia Cuthbert celebrates her 35th birthday. Model Chrissy Teigen is also celebrating birthday today. She's 32. And Kaley Cuoco is 32 as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A lot of us are crying a little bit here today on the Kevin and Bean Show, but only Allie is crying over a freaking Toyota commercial. So we're going to discuss that coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock.
Smooth segue. It was nice.
First, though.
Professional, baby. Well, look it up.
Well played. First, though, we want to give away another pair of tickets for night number 2 of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017. We're going to do it with a visit to our old friend Peek the Rodeo Clown. Now, Kevin, I think this may need some explanation as to who the hell Peek is.
We used to do Kevin and Bean Christmas CD many years, and this guy sent in a song, and it's maybe the worst song of all time.
It's not great.
I mean, it's just,
but it's a pick me up though.
It's really the opposite.
It's the feel good hit of the summer.
It's the opposite.
It's very cheery at the holidays.
It's not really cheery at all. Here's the original from Peek the Rodeo Clown.
This Christmas, I've been a paraplegic now for more than 20 years.
So he sends this in and we're like, what the hell is this?
But it takes a turn.
I like that.
See? Holiday magic.
When I was just a teenager, a car crash made me one. A bull named Car Crash at the Rodeo.
Boom! Plot twist.
We put this on the album that year, right?
I think we did, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So just to clarify, he was a rodeo clown, and he got paralyzed by a bull.
A bull.
And,
a bull named Car Crash.
Car Crash.
And,
but you think it's a real car crash.
Right, but it's not, because he's a rodeo clown.
That's why it's a great Christmas song.
Would you say it's a great Christmas song?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I would too. So not only do you win tickets for night number 2 of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, you also get the JBL Boombox that we've been telling you about, a portable Bluetooth speaker that delivers monstrous sound with the hardest-hitting bass. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the show our actual friend, Peek the Rodeo Clown is here. Peek, welcome. What are you going to do for us here?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. It's a pleasure to be back on your show.
I'm going to help you give away some tickets to the Almost Acoustic Christmas.
Now, are we going to tell them the band?
Or do they need both? You'll give them the name of the band.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I will sing a song from that band in my own special style.
All right, I think you got it. So Peak is
Pardon
going to be
me
doing...
if I don't dance.
Oh, yeah, it's very understandable, yes. So Peak is going to be singing one of the songs you'll hear if you win the tickets for night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. He'll tell you the band. All you have to do is identify the song by title. Who's our first contestant, please?
All right, it's Manny in Los Angeles. Hi, Manny.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're all right.
All right, Manny, listen up. Peak, what band are you going to be selecting for Manny here?
I'm going to be singing a song from the Killers.
From the Killers. All right, good luck.
Here we go.
I just can't look, it's killing me and taking control. Jealousy, turning saints into the sea, swimming through sick lullabies.
Okay. Manny, what song is that, please?
Is that Mr. Brightside?
It is!
Mr. Brightside, yes.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Manny is in the drawing. Who's our next contestant, please?
Next up is Kelly in San Diego. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
All right, Peak, what do you have for Kelly?
This song will be from the band Foster the People. Robert's got a quick hand. He'll look around the room. He won't tell you his plan. He's got a rolled cigarette.
What do you think there, Kelly?
Pumped Up Kicks?
It is.
Look at that.
All right. Two for two. Peak, you're on fire this morning. Well
done. Thank you. I once was on fire, really, at the rodeo. Some kerosene and a careless person smoking a cigarette set me on fire.
Bad luck, Peak. You've had a rough life. Tanya in Rancho Cucamonga. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
You're on with Peak the Rodeo Clown. What are you going to be singing for our contestant here?
The next song is from Morrissey.
Oh, Morrissey.
Oh, the pain in my arms. Oh, the pain in my legs. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. No, yeah.
You could have written that one yourself, Peak. Tanya, what Morrissey song
Wait,
is that, please?
Let me finish. Oh, through sorry. My shiftless body.
And C. What do you think, Tanya?
Episode
Sunday? No, I'm sorry. That sorry. Was tomorrow. All right, I think we got time for a couple more.
Sure. Let's go to Vanessa in Oxnard. Hi there.
Hello.
Say hi to Peak.
Hi, Peak.
I'll be singing you a song by the Lumineers. I've been trying to do it right. I've been living a lonely life. I've been sleeping here instead. I've been sleeping in my bed.
Ooh, flourish. Vanessa.
Vanessa.
Is it Ho Hey?
It is.
Ho Hey it is.
I've been trying to do it right.
Nicely done. Hold on.
I think I prefer Peak's version. All right, one more contestant, you guys, and we'll give away some tickets.
This is going to be Brenda in Southgate. Hi, Brenda.
Hi, guys.
I'll be singing for you a song from the band Phoenix.
Phoenix.
It's 20 seconds to the last call. Going hey, 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 hey. Hey, lie down. You know it's easy like we did it all summer long.
Wow. Brenda, what Phoenix song is that, please?
Is that Lithomania?
Oh, no.
Sorry, it's 1901. It's 20 seconds till the last
call. Right, so no drawing for you, but Vanessa, Kelly, and Manny all in the running for sold-out tickets for night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017 and that JBL Boombox, who have been leaders in portable audio and sound for more than 70 years. Who's our winner, please?
The winner is Vanessa.
Right.
Congratulations, you can walk.
Vanessa, see you at the show. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Pete.
Bye.
I'm going to take down Bo Bachman when he comes here next hour, by the way. I got a bone to pick.
How are you
going to
take him down?
Because he's some sort of evil genius, because he's going to defend this BS driverless car thing that's coming.
What's
and I don't
wrong
like
that?
It. I don't like it, and I don't want it, and we don't need it.
Okay.
That's what's wrong with that.
So don't get it. Why do you care?
I don't want a bunch of robots out there running me down
in
a crosswalk.
You're not on the streets anywhere.
Bo Bachman, president of Galpin Motors, joins us next hour talking about, as he does every year, the L.A. Auto Show. He really is our unpaid correspondent for the L.A. Auto Show. So I enjoy Bo coming in here, but today I'm going to throw it down. I'm sorry.
Yeah, great.
First, though, I don't know how this how did this come up, Allie, that we heard that you you bawled at this Toyota commercial?
All I remember are the words, I'm a mess.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's during the holidays they release these ads that just knock you in the gut. And then by the end of it, you're like, I do need a Toyota. I don't know how they do it. But
now this one aired a couple of nights ago between – what do I keep hearing, by the way? I keep hearing some sort of breathing or sound or something.
That's a dog,
your dog
in the background.
In your
house.
Oh,
is that on my end?
It's really the only way a dog could be heard.
I didn't know it was a dog.
Yep.
Linus, shut up.
Linus!
Do a radio show.
Shut up, Linus.
So I got my dog. Sorry.
The other night on the TV between The Voice and This Is Us, Toyota bought a 100-second commercial. Now, it's interesting because in these days of commercials being 6 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, it's very unusual to have a minute and 40-second commercial. But Allie just wants the thing to be turned into a major motion picture. She wants more of this family. Why don't you describe what happens?
Well, joke's on Toyota because somebody tweeted it to me. I didn't even see it on TV. But a lovely listener named Reggie tweeted it and said, I thought of you as soon as I saw this. So I'm like, oh, brace yourself. All right. Clicked on it. And it starts with this couple in a car. And he says, so your folks took it pretty hard, huh? And she's like, yeah, they love that tree. They go to this tree, this huge tree that obviously was knocked down in the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And then the song plays. You can just play it, and then I'll explain.
So you folks took it pretty hard, huh?
They loved that tree. It really meant a lot to them.
So then they start cutting the tree into pieces, and Carry You by Novo Amor starts playing, and I'm losing
it
already.
You know how sad it is, Kevin, when a tree falls out on your property, you have to cut it up and make firewood.
Listen, I'm waiting. I will tell you why.
Please, because I'm very confused right now.
So then she has this flashback of this younger couple standing in front of the tree, and their name is etched into the tree, R
I've
plus
seen that
S.
One. I have seen that.
And then
one.
This little girl grabs a camera, and you realize it's her taking a picture of her parents. Then it cuts to her sitting at a table, and she's looking through her photo album, finds that same picture, and you see people woodworking, do all this stuff. And then it's Christmas, and you see this older couple, probably in their 70s, walking up to the front door, and everybody kind of hides. And then they die. No. So everybody hides.
And then they beat up mom and dad.
And no, they walk in and they're kind of looking around. And then they see this table that is just this stunning work of art. And they walk over the table and they see a picture frame made of some of the branches. And it's their picture from them in the 70s. And then they look at the table and they see the initials. And they realize that they had brought their tree, and it's now a place where they're going to have their celebrations and make new memories. And then it's Christmas, and they're eating, and they're drinking. And then it cuts to, let's bring everyone closer this holiday. And I was like, yes, let's bring them closer because I could drive in a Toyota to them, and I could haul stuff in the back of my flatbed. It is so beautiful, and it's so lovely.
Here's the thing about that. I saw it,
yeah.
And got about half that. So next time you see one like that, would you mind just texting me with a full recap so that I can understand exactly
so
what's going on?
You missed the plot point that they cut down the tree and then turned it into a table.
I got the table part.
Okay.
But I didn't understand why they were all hiding.
Why
and
do they love this table so much?
I don't pay attention enough.
Why were they so in love with that tree in their yard, by the way?
It's part of their history. That's the
point.
Yeah,
it's the tree. It probably is where they spent most of their time. They etched their initials in probably as teenagers. They probably boned for the first time under that tree. Played Ring Around the Rosie with kids. There's a lot of stuff that went down by that tree bean.
Allie,
we don't
are you
know.
The type of person who, and maybe especially at the holidays, just tears up a lot more
easily? I mean, are you very susceptible to emotion and family stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
By the way, me too.
Right?
And anything having to do with kids, because I have kids, destroys me.
Right? I hate seeing that.
I'm not saying I hate seeing it. I'm saying it makes me, I cry so easily. Yeah. It's almost embarrassing.
Right?
Kevin, if I wasn't such a man, right? If I wasn't so much a man, I would be embarrassed.
Right.
Can you think of an ad that has made you not just tear up, but cry, like tears coming down your face?
Brad Garrett's iTunes commercial from last year.
Oh,
when
do
you remember that?
Frankenstein's
monster. Frankenstein's monster, and he's walking through the town, and everybody's looking at him weird, and he has the little light-up Christmas lights in his neck, and then one goes out, and a little girl comes up to him and turns it back on.
Yeah.
I mean,
What's it a commercial for?
iTunes.
And how is that an iTunes commercial, of Frankenstein's monster?
Do you not watch TV?
No, just what's the tie-in, though, to...
It was Christmas carols. They were singing in the town square.
There you go. Okay. It's just, it was a music-related thing, but it was about a minute or maybe 2 minutes. I don't remember. It was a long commercial. Here's a little bit of it.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays.
So he's sort of standing there by himself, and everyone's looking at him. And so he's...
Because he knocked down the tree in the backyard?
No, it's not... And the light bulb goes out.
Because no matter how far away you roam...
And then the whole town starts singing. That one killed me. Yeah. Have you never cried at a commercial, Bean?
I don't think I have. I mean, that's not to say that I don't... I will tell you this. In the interest of full... The way you are about kids is the way I am about animals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I will tell you that freaking Sarah McLachlan has destroyed... Don't you dare. Those commercials, the little dogs in their crates with no love and no food and no water, and they're all abused and abandoned. I can't. Even.
That's one of those things that you know exists, and you know it's incredibly sad, but you just don't want to see it.
I mean, I will say, if the intention is to raise awareness for the need for donations for animal charities, you know, like the ones that whichever one she advertises, I donate to. I know that I have a monthly donation to them, so clearly the ad worked. But that doesn't mean I can watch it when it comes on TV. I just can't.
I will be there for you.
It's too sad.
Hi, I'm Sarah McLachlan.
F you, Sarah McLachlan.
Please send me the answer for an innocent animal who's suffering right now.
Yes, it is. Struggling to find my remote. We don't have time today, but another day we need to open this up. This needs to be a phone topic, too, because I've
been lots of... Don't get me started on that tile commercial with that goddamn panda toy that's in the sewer.
I haven't seen that.
Google it.
No.
Oh, God. It is. Oh, jeez.
Look, right? I don't know a lot about a lot, but I know that I don't know anything about the Bitcoin. Now, I've seen a lot of news on it.
I know.
And they say it's worth $11,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's down to nine now, but...
Yeah, oh, it's down to nine now, 2 days later?
Yes.
I've never seen one. I don't know how to get one. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to spend one. Mm-hmm. They say it's gone mainstream. Has it?
Okay, look...
That was how I started.
Look. I'm gonna see you don't know anything about Bitcoin, and I'm gonna raise you that whatever you know about Bitcoin, I know less than that.
Okay.
Guarantee you don't, because you just said I've never seen one, and I thought, wait, they're real?
Are they?
I don't think they are real.
Rolling. We're going to tell you what we know, but while we're doing that, if you know a lot about Bitcoin and can explain it to dum-dums, please call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067. We need a new Kevin and Bean Bitcoin correspondent. Here's what I know, is that we first started hearing about this like 5, 6, 7 years ago, and it was a digital currency that people were using to buy and sell things on the internet. That was what I understood correctly.
And I thought it was originally... black market stuff. Like
that, it might be.
Like that, drugs
that
and guns.
That Silk Road site where they would sell drugs and guns, and they would literally just put pictures of them up and you could buy them, but it was on the dark web, so you couldn't find it unless you
And that would make a lot of sense because if my understanding is, my limited understanding is correct, this is, I think, much harder to trace maybe, and you don't have to have actual money and it doesn't have to be in a bank.
Yeah, I think it's untraceable.
Okay, so that's what I first heard about, and it seemed like every once in a while you'd hear about Bitcoin, but most of the stories that I heard about Bitcoin were about people hacking into somebody's computer and stealing all of their Bitcoin. And I thought,
Bitcoin can be stored in my computer?
Yes, I think. Again, our Bitcoin expert will tell me everything I'm saying is wrong, but those are the only stories that I was ever seeing about Bitcoin. And I thought, well, that's going to be the death of that because nobody is going to invest or have any confidence in a currency that is not stable and that cannot be protected, right?
But then they say it's not even a currency.
According to the BBC, they say, A, it's crossing into financial mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
How?
That can't be true, right? B, on Wednesday, they said people need to be clear. This is not an official currency. No central bank stands behind it. No government stands behind it.
Then how are people using it to buy things?
I don't know, but they are.
And the other thing that I remember that is very weird about Bitcoin, and again, we'll find out in a minute here, is that there is a limited number of Bitcoin, like 20 million or something like that. And then the value, just like on the stock market, there's a certain amount of shares that you can buy in Apple. And the stock market, you know, varies. That stock some days is higher and some days is lower. And I think it's the same way with Bitcoin currency. So, I mean, if you're using it as money, that would be like a dollar bill in your hand. Some days is worth $1.41. Some days it's worth 68 cents. That's a weird way to use money. Isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you know? How do you keep track of what it's worth by the hour or the day? I hate this.
It's gone mainstream, is what I've heard.
I have heard that as well. But it's in the news a lot this week because, as Kevin mentioned, it hit an all time peak at $11,434 a couple of days ago. Now it's down quite a bit from then. But why? What makes it go up and down? And if I decided today I want to get in on the Bitcoin, for instance, I wouldn't even know how to go online and buy Bitcoin.
All right, let's talk to Justin in Lincoln Heights because he says that he has invested in Bitcoin.
Okay.
I would not know how to do that. Justin, hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right, let's start by asking this question. Has anything that you've heard us say so far struck you as wildly wrong?
No, you guys are doing okay.
Are we? Because it makes no sense.
No sense at all. Yeah. So tell us what you know, and how did you invest in Bitcoin?
Yeah, no problem. So Bitcoin is just like any other currency you'd use. You know, if you go to Mexico, it's the peso, but with Bitcoin, it's a digital-only currency, so you wouldn't be able to actually see it.
Doesn't worry you?
No.
Okay. Who's the bank, though? The difference is with the peso and with the dollar, you've got a government behind it that regulates and controls. And who's behind Bitcoin? Who issues Bitcoin?
So the Bitcoin is controlled by a network of people. Have you ever heard of open source software?
Sure.
Yes.
Like Linux, right?
So, yeah, exactly. So open source means the community supports it and controls it. And that's exactly how Bitcoin works. The community is run by a network of computers, and they all verify every transaction that happens.
How does it go from $11,000 to $9,000 in, like, a day?
It's crazy. So the more people use it, the more people value it, and it's sort of being traded a lot like stocks. So the more people are doing it, the value goes up significantly, and it happens very quickly.
How much money do you have invested in Bitcoin?
So right now, I only have a fraction of a Bitcoin invested because I've actually invested in other similar currencies that are called altcoins. I only have 500 invested in it, but it actually has increased to now like $900.
So there's other types of coins that we're not aware of that you're not investing in? Or you are investing in?
Yeah, there's a ton of different coins. Usually they have the name coin in it, so you can kind of tell by that. But they're very similar.
That's a good way to choose your investments is look for things with coin in the title.
Are any of them fake coin?
All right, Justin, you've been very helpful, and I very much appreciate your call. I want to squeeze in one more before we run out of time, though. Let's go to line one. This is going to be Jack, Newport Beach. He may have more information. Jack, correct anything we've said that's wrong so far.
So 100% Justin's right. Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
One thing, a little history lesson. It was invented by this dude in Japan.
Okay.
And what Justin said is actually gives credence to my next point is Bitcoin is what cyber criminals demand when a given organization gets hacked, infected, you name it. A, because it's untraceable. B, it's incredibly valuable, right?
So wait a minute. So like when the hospital gets taken over and all their records are locked down until they cough up $30,000, they want it in Bitcoin.
Correct.
And gotcha. How does the hospital get Bitcoin?
That's a good question. I'm not too sure about that, but it's called ransomware. If you guys Google that, it's all over the place.
Right, ransomware is how they take over, and then they demand the payment. Yeah. But if the hospital wants to pay, I don't know how they get...
They got to go buy some Bitcoin. Do it on the Internet.
On the Internet. Okay.
Yep. So you can exchange cash for Bitcoin.
Okay, so can anyone out there, can I or Kevin, Ali, any of our listeners right now go online and buy a Bitcoin?
Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, Dogecoin, you name it. You can buy it all right now.
Do you believe in it? Do you think in 10 years this is going to be like buying something with dollars?
Ah, man, I'm a young guy. I don't know. I can't see 10 years in the future, but it's all
I mean, none of us can, really.
I mean, take care of yourself. You know, don't drink and drive. Eat well. You'll make it.
Yeah, you told our screener something about the FBI.
I'm betting on it. Reason being is our federal government, the FBI, owns over 44,000 Bitcoin. And if you
the FBI! Then, why do they own...
They're the largest holder of Bitcoin in the entire world. Oh,
probably so they could buy stuff that's illegal and then bus people?
I have no idea. All I know is...
Right. Oh, meaning they could find them on the dark web using the Bitcoin.
Conspiracy.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. So if they see something and they're like, hey, maybe you should come work for us, they're like, all right, pay me in Bitcoin. Come aboard.
All right, we're out of time on this topic, and I know we'll revisit it another day. But in your opinion, Jack, are we dummies for not getting in on the ground floor on Bitcoin? Like, is it going to be worth $100,000 one day? Should we be buying it?
You remember the $65 million settlement the Winklevoss twins got on Facebook?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They invested over $12 million in Bitcoin back in the early 2000s. Look at them now.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're all dumb for not getting in on it early.
Okay.
All right. So we're dumb for not getting in on it early, and I'm dumb because I still don't understand it.
And we may not even make it 10 years.
Right. This will help you out a lot, Kevin. AJ writes in, it's not realistic to make real-world transactions with Bitcoin with a 1 megabyte limit per blockchain. I mean, come on. Get it together.
Right. I didn't even think of that.
Without a bigger blockchain, you really have no luck at all.
I'm so much more confused than I was
before. How could I miss that?
It's like a wallet chain.
Do you understand any of that?
Sure.
Okay, good.
Do you?
All right.
Of course. Hey, Bo Bachman is joining us talking LA Auto Show coming up right at the top of the hour. First, though, the man of the hour, the man of the day. Here's Ralph Garman with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Yeah, again, I want to address what's happened on the show this morning because a lot of people are sending tweets and emails and stuff. They're maybe late to the show and they're just trying to find out what went on. Today is my last Kevin and Bean show. I did want to let everyone know I've been lucky enough to give the opportunity to talk to you guys myself before I'm gone. So I did want to let everyone know that I'm leaving. And contrary to some wild speculation on the Internet, it's not because of inappropriate sexual behavior in any way. That's the world we live in now.
That's crazy.
Where you have to let people know that you didn't accost any women. There's been no complaints. I'm not Matt Lauer. I'm not Garrison Keillor. I'm not even another guy who did that.
Russell Simmons?
Maybe? Yeah, him. That's the one I'm thinking of. So, anyway, did want to take an opportunity while I have it. I thought it would get easier as the day went on. To thank you, the listeners. By far, the best part of this job has been you people. I've met a ton of you in person, and to a person, you're remarkably supportive and kind and been very, very good to me. So I just wanted to thank you for that and to let you know that if I gave you any pleasure at all, a laugh or a smile on your way to work or school, that's what it was all about for me. And I have no idea what's going to happen to me when I leave this building today. I really don't know yet, but I will keep you posted, and hopefully I will have an opportunity to entertain you again somewhere down the line. It would be my pleasure to do that for you, and thanks again for everything.
And we're very appreciative of the 18 years, by the way. That is a crazy amount of time to spend with us.
Thanks.
And to put up with our BS.
Well, likewise. So, let's talk about other things, like Gal Gadot, huh? That'll make you smile.
Go on.
She's the best. She's just so kind to all her fans and just does so much for so many people, including other famous people. Kelly Clarkson said that she is now a lifetime fan of Gal Gadot because her little daughter, River, is a huge Wonder Woman fan. And so Gal sent her a giant package full of awesome presents that were all Wonder Woman related, including a note that read, "Your mom is a true Wonder Woman." Which is just a lie, first of all.
She's willing to do that.
She's a good singer and all, but come on. Look, let's call on Amazon and Amazon, right? That's all I'm saying. So that was very sweet of her to do. And speaking of people who are in the nerdiverse, Mark Hamill. A lot of people speculating about him. I felt bad, you know, people saying things like he might not be well.
What?
Yeah, he was recently seen at the JFK Airport Monday in a wheelchair. They were trying to get him to the airplane in a wheelchair, holding his little tiny dog with his hat over his face. And then it turned out when someone asked if Mark was okay online, he admitted to the fact, he copped to it, that sometimes he does that to avoid autograph hunters at airports.
Oh, my God.
He has to wear
a costume.
That makes sense.
He doesn't disguise himself so much, but he says if he's in a wheelchair with the hat on, sometimes he can stay below eye level.
And nobody notices.
And the eBayers won't come out of the woodwork. He said they follow him now and get him to sign Star Wars stuff all over the place.
Wow.
So that they can turn around and sell it for a profit online.
That has to be a little soul-crushing to know that you're giving an autograph that's going to then be sold.
Yeah. He says he's always happy to sign for fans.
Right.
But he doesn't like the professional autographed seekers. So when he goes to airports specifically, he will use this incognito wheelchair technique to try to get to his plane without being accosted. So he's fine. Everyone was worried about him, but his health is good.
Because is it a real dog?
The force is strong with him. What?
Do we know if it's even a real dog?
It is a real dog. Yes, he's not faking the dog.
I don't believe
anything. He's holding a stuffed dog in a wheelchair. It gets more attention. You look like a lunatic holding a stuffed dog in your wheelchair. Like, whatever happened to Baby Jane? That's a good reference. Look that one up, kids.
I support it.
Yes, of course you do. You're our own Garrison Keillor.
I saw that movie back in 1961 when it first came out.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Our buddy Robert Kirkman, Walking Dead creator, is 39 years old.
Are you sure
today.
That's you got the name right, Ralph?
I'm pretty sure. I remember hearing on the radio.
At some point.
I remember it was something like...
At some point.
I think there was a time when on the radio.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Well, we're also going to talk about a TV show. A TV show that is on AMC that is fantastic. And the creator of the graphic novel is Robert Kingsman?
Nope, Kirkman.
Can't read my own writing.
Robert Kirkman.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
That's what Ralph does for me full time.
Just filling in the blanks.
Yeah, who's going to prop you up
gonna
now,
say,
Kevin?
Who's going to jump in?
That happened to be in Vegas, unfortunately, but thank you for that.
Kelly Cuoco is 32. Chrissy Teigen is also 32 today. Alicia Cuthbert's 35. Steve Aoki's 40 years old today. Ben Stiller's 52. Billy Idol is 62 years old. And Mandy Patinkin is 65. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, very excited. Our annual visit from our good friend Bo Bachman. He is the president of Galpin Motors, and he is here on K-Rock. Bo, happy holidays, my friend. Welcome
happy
back.
Happy holidays. Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
How's the auto business these days? I hear all these reports that the economy is booming and unemployment is low and people have lots of money. Are you seeing that? Is that being reflected in your sales?
The car business is actually really good, and there's a lot of fun, exciting products out there, technology, safety. Everything's been dramatically improved, so it's actually a good time to be in the car business.
Well, we're going to get into the LA Auto Show in a minute because I'm always fascinated with what's new and all the stuff that's going to be going on down there for the next few days. But do I hear correctly that it is getting harder and harder to sell sedans because everybody wants the biggest possible car they can afford now?
It is absolutely true. The sedan market is, I don't want to say it's dead, but it's way down. Everybody wants a crossover, an SUV or a truck.
It wasn't that long ago that everybody was saying you're a horrible person if you get it.
It's amazing what society
does. Three years ago, it feels
like. Is it because gas is so cheap now? That's what makes people want to go out and buy such a gas guzzler?
Gas is cheap. Also, mileage is now a lot more comparable with a sedan and a crossover. And people like that ride height, you know, to have a little bit more, you know, feeling of security driving up high rather than a sedan.
You shouldn't drive high, though. We're not saying that.
Yeah.
Well, it just means actually higher.
Oh, height.
The car.
My bad.
There's that too.
Bean, you got a complaint with Bo? Is that?
Well, yes. And
you
sure
said Bean said he was going to take you down.
I'm going to take you down.
I heard that.
Yeah, okay. You did. You were listening. Really, so you know what my complaint is. Is you're part of big conspiracy auto, and I.
How did I get into this?
Somehow, you and your hooded friends are behind whatever's going on with these driverless vehicles. And I'm telling you right now, I speak for the public now. We don't.
You
need
never
it.
Speak for the public. By
we
the way,
we don't need it. We don't want it, and we don't like it, and stop it. Now, is there anything with driverless cars at the auto show this week?
God, you sound like my mom.
And get off my lawn.
Yeah. You know what's funny is a lot of people agree with you, and especially people that love driving cars, right? So autonomous cars are coming. It's amazing how fast the technology is progressing. At the same time, you saw a report yesterday where a taco truck totally threw off an autonomous car. So we got a long way to go to get there. But I never see drivers going away, at least in my lifetime or any time that I can see. I think
it's
we need
to take over.
No, it can't. People, if you look at the auto show and these incredible companies building these cars that people just still have an emotional connection to. You talk about the Toyota commercial, they have these emotion connection to cars, like cars have souls and people, wear them like a suit and they love their automobiles. So I don't see a day when all of a sudden, okay, you've got to, like some people are saying, they're going to outlaw driving and they're going to outlaw cars and everybody's going to have to take these, gray pods wherever they go. And this,
why do you think
horrible
so many
future.
Cities, like New York is a perfect example. Like the mayor of New York just came out and said he's trying to speed up the process to get driverless cars in his city. Why do you suppose so many people are going for it?
Well, if you're in New York, it makes more sense with all these cars everywhere and traffic and accidents like that.
Yeah, but there's many pedestrians on the street of New York, it would be impossible not to. It's hard to not hit one with a driver behind.
Hey, by the way, I'm with you, just so you know.
But let's ask question. That has been the question, and it was the question last year when you were here talking about these cars. How is the safety and how does it recognize that there's one single person standing there? Is it?
Well, they're taking these, supercomputer mapping services. So they're going to map everything out and they map the cities first. So then there's a map and then they actually have a map running in the car at the same time that compares the map on the computer against anything else that's
Holy
out there.
Holy crap, that's
so that
a lot.
So they can see a human being and now they're able to recognize, animals and other things that might pop up. But it's still an incredibly complicated system. And, what's happening with AI right now is incredibly scary. I mean, forget about, automobiles. You're going to have, humanoid robots we're going to have to share the sidewalks with pretty soon. I mean, if you listen to Musk, from Tesla, he's warning us all of Terminator 2 coming true. So it's a kind of a freaky time for everybody,
I live in the city with perhaps the worst infrastructure in America, New Orleans, Louisiana. And I'm telling you, you can't drive straight down a street because there's always a tire in the road or there's a pothole or there's a tree or there's something that you have to get around.
It wouldn't be that way if there were automated
if there were driverless cars.
That's right.
All right. Can you go to the auto show, by the way, which is open to the public, starting tomorrow through Sunday at the Los Angeles Convention Center? Is it possible to buy an autonomous car yet?
No, there's some autonomous features that are in cars right now, like keeping you in your lane, smart cruise control, so you can, the scary thing is you can kind of shut off your mind a little bit because it'll keep you in the lane, and that's kind of the tweener stage that's a little scary because you still have to pay attention. Actually, some people have lost their lives because they think the cars are now going to drive themselves. So there's some features that are available today.
But they're just to assist.
They're assisting, right?
Gotcha.
Even though some are named autonomous features, they're really not yet. We still got a few years to go till it's somewhat fully autonomous.
When we come back in the second segment with you, Bo, we're going to talk about some of the things that are happening at the L.A. Auto Show. But I just want to go to break by talking about what y'all are doing. The Galpin Motors Hall of Customs is back this year. You've got how many customized vehicles on display?
We've got 40 cars on display of every different weird variety and fun exotic cars, weird custom cars. It's a really cool haul that came out.
And you're giving away iPads?
We're actually, anyone that comes to the auto show, this is our promotion. They come to the auto show and visit our booth.
Uh-huh.
If they come and buy a car at Galpin, we'll include an iPad and any car mount for their car. So included with with a purchase. Right. So kind of an incentive for
what
people
if we
to come
just
to
look
the show.
At a car. Can we get an iPad?
You can.
I know, I'm just asking.
The LA Auto Show is one of the world's largest auto shows with over 1,000 vehicles, and Bo Bachman knows everything about every one of them. And we'll test his knowledge when we return after this on K-Rock.
Bo Bachman is in the studio. We are talking LA Auto Show. I just want to put in a plug real quick and a thanks to you, Bo, for providing us Friends and Helpers, the charity that we run for abused women and children. You provide trucks for us free of charge.
Oh, thank you for what you do. It's amazing.
It's crazy to be able to call up and to have somebody say, yes, whatever you need, take.
Well, you guys are doing all the hard work. It's easy for me.
I'm just okay. I'm not doing it, but thank you. But thank you for also letting us
what she does,
use the trucks as well. Because that
it's our pleasure.
It's a big thing. We are going to be out at Galpin Ford. Just off Roscoe Boulevard in North Hills, and we're going to be there this Sunday from 11 to 3 if you want to drop off toys for young kids or for anyone of any age, actually, parents or kids. You can drop off toys, and we will be at Galpin Ford.
Very worthy.
You can go to friendsandhelpers.org for more information on that. The L.A. Auto Show is happening tomorrow through Sunday at the L.A. Convention Center. Tickets start at just $12. Kids tickets only $5. LAAutoshow.com. Bo Bachman is going to be down there with the Galpin Motors Hall of Customs. 40 customized vehicles on display. Classic cars, race cars, hot rods. Over 1,000 vehicles at the auto show. Is there one that is most anticipated, that has a big buzz around something that's being unveiled this year, Bo?
You know, a lot of smaller unveilings, nothing really dramatic. So the weirdest car there was actually this Chinese mobility car that Chris Bangle created, and it literally looks like a Dr. Seuss car.
What's a mobility car?
It's like meant to be Bean's worst nightmare, you know, autonomous electric vehicle that just drives around the city.
Okay.
That's the weirdest thing I saw there. But, you know, Mercedes brought their supercar. You know, it's a lot of electrified vehicles. That's, you know, the big thing now is electrification, getting into plug-in hybrids or fully electric. So that's what you're saying.
Are all the major companies getting in the electrical game now?
Pretty much. I mean, it's pretty much been decided, you know, really by the governments around the world and you know, instigated by companies like Tesla that it can be done. So we're going to have an electrified world here pretty soon. So either a plug-in hybrid or full electric vehicles are going to be the norm very quickly.
All right, I have a dumb question because I am not a car knowledgeable guy, Bo. When
can I
read
buy
about
on
the
Bitcoin.
When I read about the Corvette that's going to be unveiled, the 2019 Corvette that has a top speed of over 210 miles an hour, the question that came to my mind is, could cars go even faster, but they don't want you to? Or is that as fast as you can go in a regular, you know, driving around on the street kind of car?
Well, no, they go up to, you know, someone's going to try to break the 300-mile-an-hour barrier, but it hasn't been done yet. So I think the top speed now is only 270-some miles an hour. So,
but do automakers throttle it so that the average consumer can't go over, you know, 120 or something in most cars?
No.
They don't?
I mean, a lot of cars, there might be some limiter, but that's typically on, you know, a small car, a minivan, something like that. But you don't see that as much anymore because you want to be able to have that power when you need it in case of an emergency. Or, you know, God forbid something happens. So they really don't limit that too much. And, you know, it's ridiculous.
So for high-speed chases, what car should I own?
There's a lot of great cars for
a motorcycle,
Bean. Yeah.
What's the fastest you've ever driven, Bo?
Oh, I probably shouldn't
say
it.
Be honest.
It was in the desert and there was no speed limit.
Okay, I was on the track. So I hit 187 miles an hour on a track once.
Were you scared?
That good.
Because that sounds awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was an Aston Martin. It was fantastic.
Hey, let's take a great question from Jose. He's calling us from Victorville, 1-800-520-1067. If you have a question for our guest, Bo Bachman here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jose, I'm so glad you're going to ask this. I can't wait to hear the answer. Go ahead.
Good morning. First, I just want to say we love you, Ralph, and we're going to miss you.
Agreed. Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
agreed.
Totally agree.
Second, Bo, how come we still have to negotiate for car prices? How come we have to be there all day negotiating back and forth? Why can't it be like a regular product where the price is the price?
That is a unique thing for the car community.
Well, it's because of everyone who wants to negotiate on a car. I mean, a car dealer, I mean, I hate negotiating on cars. You know, I would love it if people walked in and we had one set price. You know, we sold Saturns for a while, and that was a non-negotiation process, and it was really wonderful. We negotiate because customers want to negotiate.
So you can't set the rules, though? You can't just say, this is the price, take it or leave it?
Well, there's a dealer. Well, dealers can't do it like in one price because that's price fixing and that's illegal. You can, but, you know, then you get somebody somebody that's going to advertise a lower price on that. So it's pretty cutthroat. There are companies that are looking at like different ways of doing it. For example, Volvo just came out with a subscription service on their new XC40, so you can actually get everything included in your payment for $600, including insurance and maintenance and everything. So that they just announced yesterday. So
you can do that online,
and then you pick the dealer that you go to. So you're going to start seeing some different models that come out in subscription services. There's another company called Fair that's coming up with something like that on used cars. So I think you're going to continue to see. Less and less negotiation. I agree with you, though. I hate the negotiation process. We try to make it as easy as possible for people because we really have nothing to hide today. You know, there's so much information everywhere.
Everything is on the
internet
now.
You know, very transparent. So, you know, that's a little bit of the unfortunate side effect of the history of our industry.
I'm just going to summarize a couple of the other calls. One person is asking about the hacking of cars, and that seems to be sort of a hot topic.
Yeah, that's a serious concern to have, you know, especially if you're talking about autonomous vehicles that are, you know, essentially robots. If they could hack into them and get them to do, you know, terrible things, there's a real concern there. So there needs to be incredible security around it. That's another one of the challenges of autonomous driving and technology is we got to keep people safe at the bottom. And, you know, that's really the core of things is keeping people safe and having safe traveling. And that's where autonomy is coming from. So it's a real issue.
Bean, any more questions?
It sounded like you were going to summarize a couple of them. That was the only one?
Yeah, I think that's the only one.
Okay.
guy wants to know, Bronco will be at the auto show.
No, not yet. So. And that's one of the most highly anticipated vehicles coming. And, you know,
it's the old body, right?
Yeah, this is the old school Bronco is coming back. Everyone's all geeked out about it. Doesn't matter what walk of life people are in. Everybody's asking about when's the Bronco going to be out.
Does it say OJ on the back?
It's not going to be the OJ Bronco.
It's not the OJ Bronco.
Old school, amazing
the OG
one.
Bronco, the original.
Not the OJ Bronco.
Exactly. Exactly.
Have you actually seen one? Because it's only renderings and people are like, no, that's actually an artist drawing.
So I am behind the scenes at Ford. I'm on their product committee. They show us everything before. I mean, we started with the Mustang with drawings and they haven't shown me anything on the Bronco.
Are you telling the truth?
I swear to God, I'm telling the truth. Are you positive
you're still on the committee?
I'm on the committee. Yeah, maybe they haven't told me something yet, but
just checking.
When a car gets infamous like that one did, did that drive a bunch of sales for Ford Broncos?
Oh my gosh.
Or did people not want to buy them because they didn't want to be associated with
OJ? Immediately we were sold out of white Broncos after OJ.
Really?
It was crazy.
That's weird.
It's crazy.
That's really weird.
It absolutely, you know, they say, you know, no publicity is bad publicity, and it's true. It's crazy.
Wow. How about when, I know we're out of time, Bo, but I love talking cars with you. How about when a Fast and the Furious comes out? Do you, like, immediately after opening weekend see whatever cars are in that movie people all of a sudden want to buy?
Not really. Not in that case.
Not in that case. Yeah. Those are a little too high-end probably for most people. I don't know.
Yeah, they're a little far-fetched because they're, you know, movie cars.
So sure, right. The LA Auto Show is one of the world's largest auto shows. Over 1,000 vehicles. LAAutoShow.com. It's Friday through Sunday. Don't miss the Galpin Motors Hall of Customs with over 40 customized vehicles. And don't forget, you stop by there and get the information on how to get a free Apple iPad, an in-car mount, an oil and filter change for every 2 years with every vehicle purchase at any Galpin dealership. And they're all over Southern California now through the end of the year. Bo, you're great to us. You're always great to Kevin and his wife's charities, too. And have fun at the auto show and come back soon, my friend. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And shout out to Ralph as well. We're really going to miss you, Ralph.
Still more tickets you can win to join us for the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2017 coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. Also, we'll catch up with Dr. Drew like we do on Thursdays. First, though, we played a soundbite of Kevin singing earlier today.
It wasn't me. It was...
that we all enjoyed very much.
Another person.
And I think we need to play it again.
Eight maids a-milking, seven swans a-swimming, six geese a-laying, five gold
Wow. Have you not heard you singing the 12 Days of Christmas
I have not.
25 years?
No, of course not.
I had forgotten about that incident, but the B-team
Was I the one? Did I sing it by myself?
That was, I think you were leading the crowd, perhaps. I'm sure we can ask Omar. Let's bring Omar in. Here he is, because they did this on the B-Team podcast, which, by the way, I apologize, Omar. We don't give your podcast enough love that you and Dave and former producer Lightning do all about the Kevin Bean Show, because it's great.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Except for that part.
And you recently spotlighted the 12 Days of Christmas, which was a live event that we did in Burbank. Tell us about it.
So Lightning brings in a bunch of audio that Dave and I haven't heard, because this was in the early 90s. And this particular tape was from 1992.
So this was pre-you guys working here.
Right. So Lightning was super excited to bring this to us because he thought Dave and I were going to be over the moon. Like, you guys aren't going to believe what Kevin and Bean did. This is so great. Okay? So what Kevin and Bean do in 92...
Why would he sell it that way?
I have no idea.
Had he not heard it?
They're at an equestrian center, and they do a live 12 Days of Christmas, and they have like a fake horn section, blow up swans, and other like hijinks. And they the whole break
we
is
had Danny Partridge.
It was that, and they had Tracy Lord down there.
What?
She was one of our Lords leaping.
And they do the entire.
They don't do the entire song. No, Omar.
And what I heard was about 30 seconds, and I was already out. Okay, and Lightning said the entire break was about 12 minutes long. I only heard 30 seconds. I was like, wow, are you kidding me? What you heard was over and over and over again. It was crazy.
All right, slow down.
It was really, really bad.
Let someone else talk.
Right, yeah. Back up. All right. First of all, we can all agree the 12 Days of Christmas is the worst Christmas song of all time.
It's bad,
terrible. Right? It's boring. It's repetitive. It couldn't be any worse. But in our defense, and I'm not saying it was good, but in our defense, we built up by gathering all of those people, 100 people or whatever that it took to put on that pageant. We built that up on the air, and this was the payoff. This was the big finale of the live broadcast from the Equestrian Center that night. That's why I think we probably spent a lot of time on it.
You know what? It was still bad.
Yeah, it doesn't make it good.
I mean, that doesn't help.
But I'm saying that's why we did it anyway.
No, but now you're a different show. You're a better show because you're – considerate of your audience.
Define better.
Okay, yeah.
You care about their ears a little more. Exactly.
I couldn't believe it because it was so repetitive and so long. And then you guys, in between the little song parts, you guys would describe what was happening. And it was really poorly done.
All right.
If you get a chance, we cover it in more detail on the B-Team podcast.
Can we just hear Kevin singing that part again?
Yes, please.
Could we?
Yeah, give me a second.
In our defense, we were bad.
Yeah.
In our defense, just looking at Kevin's face when that first started playing.
That was shocking, right?
It was shock and then fear and then, oh, God, and then laughter all
and
within
then why
2 seconds.
Is it me?
It was
awesome.
Eight maids are milking, seven swans are swimming, six geese are laying, five gold.
Oof. You guys had like 1,000 people down there.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal. It was a big live broadcast that a lot of people came to. And I'll tell you something else, and I don't know if Lightning mentioned this to you or not, Omar. If I remember correctly, Kevin, tell me if I'm wrong, that's where we handed out the vinyl copies of the first ever Kevin and Bean Christmas album.
Oh, yeah. You told me that you guys put that on that record, but I don't know.
We put out a vinyl record of the Christmas
500
album.
Copies is all we made, and we handed almost all of them out to the first come, first served to the crowd that showed up.
I mean, it was like 10 to 12 each person, but right.
Well, thanks for jumping in on
that.
Okay,
cool.
How come the clip is just of me singing?
Oh, singing?
I found that so funny. That's why. On the podcast, I stopped down, and I emailed Bean in the middle of the podcast. Yeah,
that's funny.
I was so excited.
You need this.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, stop down. I got to email this to Bean right now.
Oh,
but I sing even worse, though, I'm sure, on the tape, right?
I don't know, man. Catering shines. He shines on it.
Look,
yeah.
Here's the thing. When we started here, we were learning from scratch, and we knew nothing. And it really was bad. There was some bad stuff.
Yeah, and you know
it
what?
It wasn't for lack of trying,
to your
but it
credit,
was a swing and a
you
miss.
You were swinging for the fences. Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Look, you either get a home run or you strike out.
Totally.
Sometimes you strike out.
Totally.
Yeah, so good times.
Good times.
All right. Thanks, Omar.
Yep.
Appreciate a lot.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
Get out. All right. You still have a thing to do? Or
Do we have time to do a thing or is that enough? Are we exhausted now?
I mean, I'd rather wash the taste of that out of my mouth.
All right. I'll do a thing then. This might be a good phone topic at some point down the road as well. Did you ever, as a kid, swallow anything that wasn't food?
Yes.
Ever have to go to the emergency room because you swallowed a toy car or a thimble or whatever it was? Mm-hmm. Do you remember? Anyone?
Yeah.
Sure.
Magnets.
You swallowed magnets.
Yeah.
How did they get them out?
They didn't get them out. They said they'll come out.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and then they had to have my parents monitor to make sure they came out.
Well, here's that must have been a fun weekend.
Here's a man. I was 17, which is embarrassing.
Here's a man that went to the hospital in India complaining of abdominal pain, and he was found to have nearly 12 pounds of metal objects in his stomach.
12 pounds?
Oh.
12 pounds. His name is Maksud Khan, 28, a rickshaw driver from the Satna district in central India. He was admitted to the hospital on November the 19th. Originally, he showed up, and he had been complaining of pain in his stomach, he said, for about a month, and he finally decided to go to the doctor. They thought maybe he had been had food poisoning, and then they did some tests on him, including an X-ray. By the way, he had an infection in his abdomen. He had low blood pressure. They did an X-ray, and they found 12 pounds of metal objects in his stomach. Here's what was in there. Coins, 263 of them, by the way. 263 coins.
Is that a condition?
Isn't that pica or something?
I'll get to that.
Zika. Okay. That's what
around 100 nails in his stomach.
100 nails?
100 nails, 263 coins.
How do you even swallow those?
No.
Chains and bolts.
Wow.
Post-operatively, they did an operation on him, a three-hour operation. They used a laparoscope. Is that it? A laparoscope?
Yeah, laparoscopy.
To find them all and removed everything from his stomach. Post-operatively, he was in critical condition for about 24 hours, was on ventilator support. Now he's out of danger. He just needs some time for his stomach to recover. Now, the pica that you're talking about is so interesting, Allie, because last year there was another man in India, and we talked about him on this show, a 42-year-old who swallowed over 40 knives. And they believe that he had that disorder where you develop a taste for metal and you just have to eat metal.
Yeah.
They don't think that's what's going on with Mr. Khan here, though. They think his unusual behavior might be caused by depression. That's what the psychiatry department there is saying, is that he is depressed, he is sad,
but
eating metal.
A lot of people have problems with depression. I've never heard of them eating metal. Mm-mm.
I haven't either. I don't know how they're able to get inside his brain and understand that it's this thing versus the other thing, and maybe they're wrong. But man, you should just see this picture of all the stuff that came out of the dude's stomach. No wonder he'd been complaining about stomach pain, right?
Oh, man.
What's worse, 12 pounds of metal objects in your stomach or Kevin singing the 12 Days of Christmas?
Toss up.
I need to hear it again.
Do we? Just for reference.
How
good point.
Eight maids a milking, seven swans a swimming, six geese a laying, five gold.
I will tell you this. I hate that song, and I was trying to rush through it.
Yeah,
because of that, it doesn't make me on key at all. But
it makes me want to eat bolts. I don't know about you.
And it is 8:52.
Everybody over the years has a favorite Ralph Garman bit or feature or character, and we're hearing from a lot of your fans today about that, Ralph, but so many people mentioning 9/11.
Yeah, a lot of people say that to me when I meet them in person, that they remember me and Doc doing our coverage of 9/11.
Pete and I were on vacation
that day. Yeah.
You handled it amazingly well.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people, there was a kind of a lifelong bond that was formed that morning listening to you. But Ralph is here with not only the Showbiz Beat, but an announcement, if you haven't been with us this morning.
Today, I've been talking about it all morning, and I know people are tuning in because they want to hear it from me. And I appreciate K-Rock and the powers that be giving me this opportunity to talk about it. Today is my last Kevin and Bean show. I am leaving the show, and I wanted to just take an opportunity to thank everyone who has listened to me for almost two decades. I can't believe it's been that long. I thought it would get easier, really. Every time I do this, I get caught up in the emotion of it, but only because everyone has been so supportive of me professionally and personally over the years. And a lot of people that I've met a lot of listeners over the years, too, and they say thanks for, making me laugh in the morning or give me a smile on my way to work or school. And all I can say is it's nothing compared to the support and kindness you have shown me over the years. So thanks so much. Again, people are asking me, what's next? I don't know. I don't know what happens after today, but I will keep you posted. And hopefully somewhere down along the line we can do this all over again somehow, some way. I don't know in what capacity, but I'll be back.
I may be behind the counter in an Arby's. Maybe you can come by. I'll give you some extra horsey sauce if you said you listened to me on the Kevin and Bean Show. Who knows? Who knows where I'll end up? But it's been a hell of a run. And so I wanted to thank everyone for their support. And all morning long, the outpouring on Twitter and other places has been tremendous. It's very kind of you. And that's it, I guess.
And that sucks. And we're going to miss you.
Thanks, man. So let's talk about show business news, because that's what I'm here for, right? Right. Let's talk about CBS.
Hate them, right?
No, no.
Oh, okay. They're worse.
They're not our boss anymore. They're okay with me now. But they are they're picking up a bunch of new shows. They're not a bunch of new shows, but they're renewing some of their shows that are on the air. Elementary just got picked up for a sixth season. And you know, now they're saving all that money on radio stations. They can afford to pay TV people.
Shame on you, CBS.
There's some movies in the works that were completely unnecessary. They're doing another Shaft movie. You may remember they did a Shaft remake with Samuel L. Jackson. But now they are going to make Shaft and Son. It's Samuel Jackson and his son. Son of Shaft.
Is that true?
Yes. Jesse Usher.
They work in a junkyard or something?
No, that's Sanford and Son. This
okay.
Shaft and Son. Jesse Usher will be Son of Shaft. And they will be in theaters in June of 2019. So circle your calendars. Make a date.
I would have thought that a Shaft remake with Samuel L. Jackson could have been great.
Well, they did make it, and it was
but
okay.
It wasn't good, right?
It wasn't great.
It was good. It wasn't great.
He played the role back in, that's 2000, by the way, when that movie was made.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that long ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
So 19 years later, they're going to be doing a sequel to that.
Okay.
And there's an upcoming prequel called Daphne and Velma. His name's ring a bell?
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo crew, that's right. It'll be a prequel story telling the story of how Daphne and Velma became best friends in high school and teamed up to investigate a mystery. That's how they first met. That's going to be a thing.
Is that...
No, that's not... So. Well, Velma. Come on, let's face it. Velma, right?
I mean, what's their backstory here?
Well, you know what, Velma? Come on. We all know about Velma. Even back in the day as a kid, I knew Velma. It's like, who's the little lesbian, right? Come on, Velma.
All right.
I'm not the only one. And who do you think had the most liked photo of the year? Most liked photo of 2017 as we do our year-end retrospectives?
Demi Lovato.
Good guess.
Justin Bieber.
Good guess also, but wrong.
Good.
When I tell you what it is, it's going to be an OEM moment for me.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Most liked photo.
Yeah. Beyoncé. Where she was sitting on that bed of flowers, showing off her very pregnant belly, like she was the Virgin Mary. Being all full of herself on flowers with veils wrapped all around her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Looked like she was some sort of Indian priestess. That was the most liked photo of the year. How many likes? How many likes does it take to be the most liked photo of 2017?
That's tough to guess. I don't know.
This is Instagram, of course, we're talking about.
I have no idea about how that works.
500,000.
That's a great, great guess, Kevin.
So many more, Kevin.
I was going to say 30 million.
That's equally bad, but on the other end.
Okay.
It's 11.1 million likes.
Okay. I see what you're doing there.
Yeah. So, it's a lot.
It's easy for Allie to say, that's a bad guess, but she didn't
guess. Well,
she's
smart enough to stay out of the game.
Thank you.
I see. Okay. That's on me, then.
It certainly is. And Ringo Starr has announced he's going to tour Europe and Israel. What Europe and Israel ever did to Ringo Starr, I have no idea, but they're getting the brunt of it. In 2018, he's going to take his show on the road and just announce the tour. And the only reason I bring it up is, did anyone happen to catch Modern Family last night?
I recorded it. I did not watch it yet.
Modern Family last night was so very, very funny. It was about all of the family's brushes with celebrity. For example, Jay Pritchett was on a jury duty with Terry Bradshaw. And Phil Dunphy was trying to sell a house to Chris Martin of Coldplay, who, by the way, is, God damn him, a really talented, funny actor. He crushed it. And it was very funny because Phil has a hard time with him because he gets sick. He's got a ball infection.
Phil does?
Yes. Phil Dunphy has an inflamed, infected testicle. It is a thing.
No.
Okay.
And the only reason I know it's a thing is because I was talking to Jack Burdett, our friend who's a listener of the show, who is a writer for... Modern Family. And that was based on a true story where he passed out in front of Ringo Starr because of the pain from his ball infection.
Wow.
Yes.
Balls, 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 balls,
Yeah, he was busy at work the other day. I tried to get him to call in to talk about worst thing you said to a celebrity. Oh. You guys did that call-in topic? Because I thought that would be a great story. I passed out in front of Ringo Starr because my ball was infected. Oh, yeah. But we didn't get a chance to talk about that. But I saw this story in the news, and I just wanted to mention that story because it made me laugh so hard. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Mandy Patinkin is 65 years old today. Billy Idol is 62. Still one of my favorites. Talk about Christmas songs. Remember the Christmas song you did for our Christmas
I sure
album?
Do. Yelling at the Christmas
Yelling
Tree.
Yelling at the Christmas Tree. That's a great tune. Ben Stiller's 52. Steve Aoki is 40. Alicia Cuthbert turns 35 years old today. Chrissy Teigen is 32, as is Kaley Cuoco. And Walking Dead creator, Kevin, what's his name?
Robert Kirkman.
Oh, is it?
Don't be ridiculous.
Are you sure it's Robert Kirkman?
Yes.
I remember
Everyone
as if it was
is.
Yesterday.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But we're also going to talk about a movie. I'm sorry, a TV show, too. A TV show that is on AMC that is fantastic. And the creator of the graphic novel is Robert Kingsman?
Nope, Kirkman.
Can't read my own writing.
Robert Kirkman.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
You know, some people can stay up in Vegas all night and then they're, somehow they're fresh and sharp in the morning.
Do their jobs.
That is not me.
What?
That turns out not to be me.
Judging from that, you sound... you sound... Shark is attack.
Yeah.
Wasn't that what he said that one time? We have that one, Chip?
No, we don't have that one. Come on.
Shark is a tap. Wasn't that, was it?
I did say shark is a tap.
Yeah.
Yep, here we go.
All right, good.
All right, good.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Got up at 9, made my flight, came back. Sharp as a tap today.
That shark was is a, tap. A Moment with Kevin.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You see Radiohead booked a gig in Argentina, I think, the same night they're supposed to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland.
Oh.
That's their way of saying, don't really care about your Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. Not going to be there. Do what you like. Anyway, it's Kevin Beach Show here on the world-famous K-Rock on a Thursday morning. A couple of mornings ago, about a week ago or so, we got a text from Dave King Maxgar, our producer on the Kevin Beach Show, from his girlfriend, that Dave was in the hospital. And it sounded very serious. For a while there, I was really, really nervous about what was going on with Dave. And I was so surprised to find out what sent him to the emergency room. And we thought it might be a great opportunity to catch up with our good friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky, like we do every week at this time on the Kevin Amin Show, and discuss what's going on with Dave. How are you, Drew?
I'm great, guys. The way you set that up, Dean, it sounds like this is of a psychiatric nature. But lo and behold, he has a real medical problem.
By the way, it could be both.
There is that. Okay. That's a separate matter for a separate day.
Dave was Dave is in studio with us. Dave, why don't you walk us through what happened that night? You were sitting around like a fat ass watching football.
Watching TV, and then I get a pain in my stomach. And normally I'm like, yeah, whatever. But then I stood up because I thought it was a cramp. And then when the pain went away and I got lightheaded, and then my body just went cold.
Ooh.
And that's freaky. Mm.
Do you think you died?
I thought I died. I was like, I think I'm dead. So I tell my girlfriend Krista, all right, we're going to the ER. And I'm not a guy who would go to the doctor to see anything. Like, I literally have to have my arm falling off.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Yes.
What? Dave is living up to his nickname. Oh, I think I'm dead.
All right. So I'm driving to the ER, and of course, who do I text? Because I don't want to pay for the ER if I don't have to. So I want to get diagnosed by Dr. Drew over text. So I send him all my symptoms.
Looking for free medical care.
I send him all my symptoms, and of course, he doesn't respond to me. Thanks a lot,
all
Drew.
Right,
I could have died.
Let me ask you a question, a side note. How many times do you get texts like that from friends?
Oh, 10 times a day. Right now, just now, while we're talking, a colleague of mine sent a text. I have to call him as soon as we put the phone down. All day long. But I did respond. I can pull up the whole thread if you wish. I just didn't respond instantly, and that wasn't good enough for Dave.
Well, you could have saved me a 12 to 15-hour ER trip, dude.
You needed to go in anyway. But you have acute abdominal pain. You have changes in your blood pressure. You're having sweats. That's what I would have said anyway. Go to the ER, get this checked out.
All right, so Dave, you
and
go.
I list all the possibilities, right? I told you what it could be. And then you didn't respond for 4 hours.
Well, I was kind of busy.
Look at Drew. He's upset
getting tested.
At the patient for not getting back to him.
Yeah, so I in the ER, I get the ultrasound, and then I finally get my phone back, an ultrasound is what.
No, she's saying, were you pregnant?
No.
I think that's
just doing that so Kevin would chuckle.
That's still a valid question.
Yeah.
Are you pregnant, Dave?
I am not pregnant.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so they ruled out heart attack. They ruled out everything, which are scary words.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they tell me that I have a fatty liver.
Are you sure they said fatty or just fat?
No, no. They said that you have a fatty liver.
Okay.
So
you're fat and you have a fatty liver.
Yes, exactly. Right. They said, listen, and this happens when you're overweight. I was like, yeah, okay, here comes the normal BS. But then that's it. They didn't say, like, I didn't get prescribed any medicine. They didn't say I had any disease. Everything else checked out fine. All they said was maybe you should go to the doctor in the next 2 weeks just to keep an eye on it.
All right, well, let's get some free medical advice from Dr. Kupinski since he's on the phone.
Wait, hold on. So then Drew starts to text me with all these scary stupid literature and facts and stuff like that. And he's like, this is what you have. This is what you need to take. And, you know, if you don't, you're going to die.
So now you're mad at Drew.
Yes, he's scaring me.
All right.
Now that I've actually given him advice, he doesn't want to hear it. It's just a brilliant example of patients hearing what they want to hear.
Yeah.
The physicians over at Cedars tell him exactly what he has, and he walks away and goes, see, I have nothing.
No, they said I didn't have it, Drew. They said it shows symptoms of it.
Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, NAFLD. I sent you a lot of information about it.
Yeah, it all resulted in death.
Can I just butt in and say non-alcoholic, please?
Right. There may be some alcohol overlay on top of that, but he has fatty liver disease.
Now, what's that?
And that's one of the more increasing and significant problems people are suffering these days because we are so overweight. It is thought to be one of the leading causes of cirrhosis when non-alcoholic fatty liver disease transitions to something called non-alcoholic steatohepatitis.
Don't have that.
The liver cells begin breaking down, they get fibrotic, and it can really be a serious source of liver disease. So it's another reason that people with metabolic syndrome, insulin resistance, and excess weight, particularly on the middle of the body, need to really pay attention to that. It's not a minor issue. It's going to have significant, it can shorten your life significantly.
All right, Dave was frustrated by them sort of not giving him any instruction as he left, should they have?
They probably did. He just shut down.
They did not.
It wasn't a heart attack. He just, like, stopped listening.
Now that's scary.
Okay, listen. That's
possible. It doesn't sound like a medicine thing, right, Drew? It sounds like a lifestyle thing.
It may need some medication. Some people have shown that it responding to statins, and there's some new medication being studied right now that to help with this, particularly if you have steatohepatitis, not just the alcoholic fatty liver disease. But it's a shot across the bow. It's a really significant sort of milestone for Dave that he's got to pay attention to. His girlfriend has been complaining about it to me for years that he's got to pay attention to his diet and weight.
Yes, but listen, when they say this will be a problem when you're 70 or 80,
oh my God,
that's what I'm hearing. I do understand.
Okay. Hold, please. Right. Drew, when he's 70 or 80.
He could shorten your life significantly. Let's put it that way.
You don't want that.
You know, like, Dave, it's like saying, who wants to live to 75? Well, ask a 74-year-old, dude. You will be there eventually. And it could shorten your life even further. Plus, again, it's a sign that you're at risk for other things related to the metabolic syndrome. Heart disease, strokes, all that good stuff. Diabetes. It's coming, my friend. It is time to take care of this.
Don't have it.
I was really surprised,
now, hold
Dr.
on.
Drew.
I'm sorry. Dave is whispering, don't have it.
And the guys at Cedars told him, see a doctor. Follow that physician's directions,
yes,
and let's take care of this.
Which
you
I
don't
will.
Have medication right now, but you do need to attend to this.
Listen, I was traveling to New York, so I didn't want that to ruin my trip. And then Drew sending me text, look, here's the information. You're going to die.
All right, Drew, being back to you.
Here's my question for you, Drew. We're almost out of time here, sir. And that is, and I may have a distorted view of what constitutes being fat these days, but I look at Dave, and he does not look fat to me. He looks to me like a guy who could lose a few pounds, but he certainly is not the obese picture that you have in your head of somebody who has a real serious weight problem.
Which is a very interesting point, Bean, which is that we have come so accustomed to people being overweight, that unless they're extremely overweight or sort of morbidly obese, we don't even think about people as overweight.
Interesting.
But for Dave, and there's some genetic factors in this too, people with Native American heritage, and I've wondered if the Native American overlay included people south in Mexico, you know, with a similar genetic heritage, whether, you know, they would be at added risk even at relatively lower weight. And Dave is here a good example of that. And for his body and his genetics, it's too much.
Okay. All right. Have you made an appointment to see a doctor?
Well, listen, it's been a bit.
That's a no.
Asked and answered.
I feel his girlfriend's pain. I'm going to call her next after the next call I made.
Right? No. Don't. DrDrew.com is where you want to go for all the podcasts and live appearances. Don't miss the good doctor on with our old friend Mike Catherwood, Monday to Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC.
One more thing. Tuesday at the Ice House. Next Tuesday, Mike and I. Pasadena,
congratulations.
Yeah, we'll be there. 8 o'clock.
Fantastic. You can get that information at drdrew.com and do what Dave should have done and get a doctor in the comfort of his own home on demand house calls with the Heal app at the App Store or Google Play. Thanks, Doc. We'll do it again next week, sir.
Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 20 minutes till 10.
Our friend Ralph Garman is here with his final look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, you're always so professional on the air, but I really have to hand it to you with the extraordinary amount of dignity and grace you have pulled off today's show, because I'm sure this was not an easy day to get behind the microphone.
So no.
Thank you for that.
But I'm glad I had a chance to do it. A lot of people don't in the world of radio. When it all ends, they don't get a chance to say anything. They just become a footnote. So I appreciate the powers that be at K-Rock giving me the opportunity to say goodbye to everybody. And that's what I really wanted to do more than anything else. Because the highlight of this whole experience for me has been the people who listen. And I just can't thank you enough for having spent some time with me over the past almost two decades. It's the longest I've ever done anything. And professionally and personally, the K-Rock listeners have been remarkable to me. So I just wanted to have a chance to say goodbye, and they gave me that chance. And I want to thank you and also tell you that it's been an honor and a pleasure to be able to give you a laugh or a smile at some point during your day. That was always the goal for me, and I hope to be able to do it again someday. I don't know what's next for me. This is the end of a chapter, but hopefully not the end of you and I spending some time together. So, again, thanks to everyone who listens to this show, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
And by the way, Ralph has not been accused of anything. Can I throw that out there?
Yeah, let's stop that rumor.
That's insane.
People are just assuming with the news cycle these days.
Just because everyone else is groping and touching and exposing and stuff doesn't mean everyone loses their job for that reason.
Right.
It's an epidemic in show business, but I was
not here.
Not this particular case, no. So don't listen to that rumor. But if anybody would like to be groped or exposed, please give me a call.
As long as they're willing.
I'm a free agent now. I can come and grope and expose you anywhere. I can come to your house or, you know. So that's that. And I'm not great at goodbyes. We've learned that today.
You did think it was going to get easier each hour, and it just hasn't.
It really hasn't.
At all.
But
I agree with Bean that you are taking a horrible day, and you're making the best of it.
Well, what are you going to do, right?
What are you going to do? Hey, Ralph, when's the next Babylon? Because I know you have a worldwide audience of many thousands for that, but there may be a good opportunity to promote that again for people who can't survive the week without any Ralph Garman in their life.
Well, just a couple more. Kevin Smith and I do the show Hollywood Babylon. We're going to be doing a home show where we talk about we're going to do a review of Justice League. He and I, we're going to do battle over that film. So that'll be posted soon. But in terms of live Hollywood Babylon shows, we're doing one in Boulder, Colorado next weekend. We're going to be there on the 9th. And then the only thing locally we're having is New Year's. We're doing two shows on New Year's Eve at the Improv on Melrose. We're doing an early show where Kevin and I act out comic books live on stage, and I do a bunch of different silly voices, and everybody follows along. It's a good time. And then, of course, we'll do a New Year's show where we ring in the new year at the Improv on Melrose. And you can go to improv.com if you want to come out and see us and ring in 2018. And I promise to be crying much less on that show. I promise.
Oh, you'll have forgotten this program by then completely.
Never.
Distant memory by the time New Year's Eve comes around.
Never, he said through a tissue. Never.
All right. Anything else you want to cover this time around?
Yeah, I want to play One Night in Bangkok one last time.
All right.
I was talking about it this morning. The news is the musical Chess is going to be giving a reboot. They're going to bring it back to the stage. This was a musical that was written by the guys from ABBA. Not a wild success, but had a few hit songs that came out of it. They're going to be relaunching this musical. It's going to be running in February at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. And that song, One Night in Bangkok, always makes me happy. So I thought we'd play that as we do the last showbiz beat here. Give me a little One Night in Bangkok.
One Night in Bangkok.
And you want to be remembered for that over Rock Me Amadeus, Ralph?
Yeah. What the hell? Bangkok, Oriental City. This makes me happy. I get my kicks above the waistline, sunshine. Second only to Vincent Price in Thriller. That's my favorite spoken word musical moments ever. To terrorize y'all's neighborhood. Just completely inappropriate. All right, I'm exhausted. I'm done. I just want to give you the last of the celebrity birthdays. Mandy Patinkin, 65 years old today. Billy Idol, 62. Ben Stiller's 52. Steve Aoki is 40. Alicia Cuthbert turns 35 years old. Christy Teigen is 32. Kelly Cuoco is 32 as well. Walking Dead creator
Kevin, what's his name?
I don't.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But we're also going to talk about a TV show. A TV show that is on AMC that is fantastic. And the creator of the graphic novel is Robert Kingsman?
Nope, Kirkman.
Can't read my own writing.
Robert Kirkman.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I think I'll miss you the most of all, Scarecrow.
How dare you. I'm going to miss you too, Ralph.
For the last time, I'm Ralph Garman and I walk the movie beat.
Yeah!
I screwed it up. I screwed it up the last time I said movie beat.
I mean, after
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There it is.
There we go.
Good luck,
guys. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, keep it 100 because it's Friday. We've got Ben Bailey on the program tomorrow. Well, he's very excited about.
Allie, going to be okay with Ben Bailey?
Yeah.
RJ Bell takes a look at week 13 of the NFL and Ming-Na Wen, one of our favorites in studio from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That's all tomorrow morning on an All New Kevin and Bean Show.